If spiritual growth is so beneficial, why doesn't everyone follow this pathway outwardly, openly, and consistently? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campbell, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. If spiritual growth is so beneficial, why doesn't everyone follow this pathway outwardly, openly, and consistently? Well, to open our thinking together, let me just make the wisecrack here. They are. Everyone is following it outwardly, openly, and consistently. However, they call it living. They call it living as a human being. Well, let's look at life. Life is on many levels. We'll start on the dead level first. In other words, life is not life. It is dead. It is, you hear it now. You are invisible. You are in the nothingness. You are not expressing yourself in the allness, you're expressing yourself in the nothingness. And so, then you decide to be in the something. And so, you look at the somethingness, which is the allness, and you say, now there's lots of areas in the allness, I don't want to say levels, there's lots of areas in the allness that are fascinating. Now, it would be fun to be a human being, that would be a thing. Well, let's start even different. It would be fun to be an atom. It would be fun to be an amoeba, a one-celled animal being, paramecium, two-celled, and so forth. And then we go on up. It would be wonderful to be a fish, you know, a fly, a butterfly, a fruit fly. You know, they have a very short life. And these various things, it would be fun to be them, you know. But, you know, that's just sort of a short-term stuff. And then it'd be fun to be an animal, a dog, a cat, a lion, a rat, you know. It doesn't matter. It'd be fun to be one of these things. And so we have that entire plethora of ideas available to us to consider. And what have we considered? Well, we've considered that the human being is the highest level of physical achievement in the human scope. The human being is the highest level of achievement in the human scope. Now, I don't want to say animal scope, because humans don't consider themselves animals. They consider themselves above the animals. All right, now, what is the other scope? The other scope is to be the allness. We can be the uniqueness of the physical scope if we want, but what about being the allness? What about being the isness? What about being the master? What about being a spiritually illumined being? Well, when we bought in to this game of life, so to speak, that's played here on this earth, it has all these ramifications. We can be a bug, or we can be a man, or we can be a god. It doesn't matter. We can play any one of these roles, because in fact, we are all these things right now. We are oneness with all. So we are the bug. We are Jesus Christ. We are God. We are the allness, and we are the nothingness. So we are what we would call death, you know, non-existence. But yet, even the nothingness is something. It's very much something. Now, let's consider, if spiritual growth is so beneficial, why doesn't everyone follow this pathway outwardly, openly, and consistently? Well, most people will tell you that they're number one. Now, a lot of people won't say it openly, but if they know that you think you're number one, they'll say they're number one too. But most people would say they're number one. They would say that they are the only one in the universe that matters, because when they are not here, it doesn't matter what goes on in the universe as far as they're concerned. And they are the allness. Now, how would they consider themselves as God? If you said to somebody, are you the one who creates the every experience you have in your life? Oh, no, no, these things. Hey, how could they happen if you didn't create them? How could they happen if you didn't reveal them out of the allness? Now, the allness has every nonsensical idea and every sensical idea that you could possibly have. It is the allness. It has every consideration, the insignificant to the grossly significant. It has everything in it. Now, we are the allness. Now, we choose to play as limited humans. We choose to play that game because that's kind of a fun game. It's the game that we sort of introduced ourselves to here. And as we say in our school here, what is our purpose in being here? It's to remember who we are. Be ourselves and have fun, but it's to remember who we are. Who are we? We are the allness. We are the isness. We are God. We are the creator, but not creator, because everything exists. We are the revealer of all these things that are available to be revealed. No matter what it is, no matter how strange it is, we reveal it because it's fun to reveal it. Now, are we walking our spiritual growth? Is it beneficial? Not really. It doesn't matter whether you walk your spiritual path or don't walk it. It doesn't matter whether you're God or not. It doesn't matter whether you're a human or an animal or a mineral or a vegetable. It doesn't matter what you may be, because in fact, you are all of it. And it's just an aspect of your allness that you're playing right now. You cannot ever not be all, you know, because we're always all. But we can pretend that we are something other than the all. And so long as we play human being, we're pretending that we're not the all. So long as we think with our minds that we are limited in our knowledge, and we don't know that I know that I know, the divine in me knows the answer, we don't claim that, then we're just playing a game. And the game goes on and on and on and on, and it's fun. And we don't want to be deprived of it. We love that idea. We love that idea. Oh, so human. You know, you hear that word. And this is because it's fun. This is because it's fun. Now, what would make you have a lot of fun? What would you call spiritual growth that would make you have a lot of fun? That you're following the pathway outwardly, openly, and consistently. What would you consider what's happening when you are walking your spiritual path outwardly, openly, and consistently? What would it demonstrate to you? Maybe others might see it too, especially if they're on that demonstration level, that revelation awareness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what would it mean to you? Well, it would just mean that you're enjoying everything that you have. And everything that you have is beautiful and good. And everything that you have is brought into being by your revealing it, by your giving it life, by your thought. You're giving it reality by your thought. That's all it is. And anyone can do that because anyone is there too. But they want to play this other game. Now, some people want to play the game of being a man. Well, wonderful. Some people want to play the game of being a woman. Well, wonderful. At times, some people want to play the game of being a child. That's wonderful, too. And some people want to play the game of being a pet, a dog, a puppy. What happens whenever you see a kitty cat, a little kitten? You just melt. You know, you look at that cat, oh, isn't that cute? Oh, isn't that nice? Look at how they climb up the drapery. look at how they claw this and that. You know, oh, isn't that charming? My goodness sakes. You let them get away with it to a degree. But you see, these are things. And you look at a little puppy dog. Oh, they are so wonderful, so waggly, and so smushy, and so lovey-dovey. But when they mess on the carpet, you know, then you think to yourself, oh, I got to house train this animal, not house break, but house train this animal. And how do I house train this animal? I just teach him what I want him to do. And so, what is our friend Bruce?
Bruce Almighty.
Almighty Bruce, you know. He trained his dog to not only stand at the potty and do his duty, but to sit on the potty and read the newspaper as he was doing his duty. Now, that is utterly outrageous, utterly stupid, utterly wrong, yet why not? Why not? Who says that it's just not common to see a dog doing that, you know? But some kittens have been trained to go to the potty in the toilet, lift up the seat, do it, you know? And it is quite normal for that to be part of cat training, especially when you live in an apartment and you don't get your cat out as often as you'd like. Some animals are always in the house, like Leslie has her cat always in the house and wouldn't know what to do outside. You open the door, walks out, comes right back in again. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that place out there. But this is part of life. It's part of life. Now, are we now expressing outwardly, openly, and consistently our spiritual path? Sure we are. Because everything is a spiritual path. Everything is moving on that spiritual awareness of who we are. Now, are we masters? Yes, we're masters of the spiritual path at the level that we are masters. We are masters at the spiritual path at having physical bodies that decay and fall apart. We're masters of the physical body that the cells die and that it gets fat or thin or tall or short or has diseases and has this and that and the other thing. We're master of that. We do that very well. But why are we doing that? The body is not designed to grow old. It's not designed to get sick. It's not designed to be weak and pale. It's not designed to do that. The body, by its very cells, every cell would live forever if the body were given that sort of attitude by its owner. It says that right in our owner's manual. When you listen within, you say, I'm whole and perfect. You say, every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect right now. And you say all these neat things. That's your inner speaking. Now, when are you going to wake up that's your body you're talking about? That's your body that's whole and perfect. Wouldn't you be an interesting anomaly if you were living in your body and your body was eternally young, eternally whatever age you like, 18, 25, 30, whatever, and never had an illness, you could be associated with people with great contagious illnesses and you were never touched, you never sought for money because you would just think your thought of whatever it was you chose and there it'd be right there, right in your hand. And you would never think of cruelty or unhappiness or anything in your life because that's not in your consciousness. And your consciousness is only unconditional love. Now, this is a level, if I don't want to say level really, but this is an area of our mastership being. This is an area of our spiritual being. And it sounds like a fun area, but not enough fun for you to stop thinking those dumb thoughts that your body grows old, that your body is sick, that your body's got problems, that your mind can only think one thing at a time, that you don't realize that you have all the thought and the universe in your mind right at this end and beyond the universe. You have the infinite cosmic consciousness right now. You have all of these things right now, but you will not accept it. And the reason you won't accept it is because it's too unbelievable. Now, it doesn't have to remain that way. We can have it so that it is now totally aware that we live in our absolute perfect being body. Right now we can know that we live in our totally perfect, totally fulfilled, I know that I know that I know. All knowledge in whatever we choose to reveal it is revealed to us. Now we can go on and on and on, but that's wonderful. But that's just an area, and I say area because it's not a step up or down, it's just an area of spiritual consciousness. Now, Sylvia has a beautiful home, she has a beautiful bed, she has a beautiful bathroom with running water and all the accoutrements, she has a beautiful kitchen, she has a beautiful house, glorious. And then her friend comes over and says, Sylvia, I want you to come along with me. And Sylvia says, oh, where are we going? We're going on a camping trip. And so Sylvia gets her sleeping bag and gets her camping materials, and they go on a camping trip. And they go out in the wilderness, and they cut wood to make a fire and fry the fish that they catch in the lake, you know. And they go out in the woods, and they see if there's anything around there to eat. Ingeborg would be good at that. And they find all sorts of edible things. And they sleep in their tent after they shoo the mosquitoes out. And they're in their sleeping bags and cuddle up like mummies. And they have to go to the toilet in the bushes somewhere. And they're having such fun. Oh, my goodness, what fun they're having. Out walking around in nature, looking up at the trees. Whoops, the branch fell down, almost hit me. And going into the lake, you know, and seeing the snakes swimming around the lake, and they say, oh, hey, isn't that nice, you know. And all of these other wonderful things. And here, Sylvia has a lovely home, just sitting there doing nothing while she's out having fun camping. Now, why would anyone consider that living in a primitive way like that is fun? Why would anyone consider that going camping was a desirable thing when it takes you away from all of the loveliness of civilization? Why? And Sylvia would say, boy, I feel restless tonight, I don't know why. And her friend says, I know why. Why? Because you don't have your computer. You know, you're so used to sitting and thumping away on the computer and traveling all over with it. But you see, this is how it goes. We're playing on a level of human consciousness that pretends that it doesn't have a beautiful house. It pretends it doesn't have a beautiful stove. It pretends it doesn't have a toilet. It doesn't have all of the things that you've learned to love. And it pretends that it doesn't have it. And then we're down in Africa. We're visiting some of our friends down there, and there many of their homes have dirt floors. Many of their homes have a little outhouse out back, if that. And they don't have windows. And the temperature is 85 in the day and 85 at night. And when it rains, it really rains, and everything shuts down. And sanitation is a tough thing, real tough thing. And yet they just live on happily, marvelously, not realizing that there are other ways that they could do it. And then we have Sam Sasu, who lives in a very pleasant house and lives in a luxurious way. And he comes to the United States, and he sees these beautiful highways. He sees these beautiful stores, department stores. He sees the world accessible, you know, really accessible and fun, and television and theater and computers and cellular phones, and I mean, you know, all this, all the toys. And then he goes back to his home in Accra. And as he's back in his home in Accra, he says, oh, it's so good to be back home again. It's so good to be with my family. It's so good to be with things that I'm accustomed to. Now, why wouldn't he want to come and stay in the United States, which he had done at one point?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he come and stay there? Well, one point is that he's a big frog in a small puddle there. And here in the United States, he's a small frog in a big puddle. Yeah. And in the United States, he doesn't have the respect that comes to him from who he is, because there are many people doing who he is and what he's doing here. Whereas in Accra, there are very few people who are as competent, capable, and expressing their genius in the same way that he is. Not that they couldn't. It's just that they hadn't chosen to do so. You see, these are all levels, not levels, these are all areas of our choice, of expressing our spiritual path. And we think to be a spiritually growing individual, you got to become a monk, or you got to go to church, or you got to climb a mountain and pray, and you got to flagellate yourself, and you got to deny yourself, and so on. And I think we are so poor in our remembrances. When the Buddha saw Nirvana, when he saw that beautiful bliss situation, he saw, what's the first thing he did when he came out of there?
Eating.
He had a meal.
Let's eat. And his compatriot said, my God, we're not supposed to eat. We're supposed to fast and starve ourselves. And he said, I am hungry. I'm going to eat. And so eat he did. And he has been known all of his experience for being the fat little Buddha, which people go and kiss his tummy, you know. And that's great. But do you see? Now, before that, before his illumination, he would have thought the only way to illumination, and let's not say salvation, but illumination, is through fasting and starving oneself. And after illumination, and we didn't get the message even, after illumination he says, hey, be yourself and have fun, whatever turns you on, you know, whatever you can handle. And are you doing that? Are you being yourself and having fun? Are you doing whatever you can handle? If you are, then I would say spiritual growth is beneficial, and everyone does follow the pathway outwardly, openly, and consistently of being themselves and having fun on the area, in the area that pleases them. So, you all have a lovely evening, and the Absolute Philosopher will be with us again tomorrow night, sharing some utterly outstanding cosmic ideas, and I expect you to be here because I love you, I love you, I love you.